Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode. Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. My name is Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And today I am the guest. I wanted to stop and take some time today. God had really placed some things on my heart to share with the kids ministry community. And so I thought I would take a break from interviews to just be one-on-one with you, my friends. And so I hope that you'll stay tuned. I want to talk about five things that every kidmin leader needs to do to stay what I call survive in kids ministry. Now, survive may be a terrible word to put, but I've got five things that I think are key checkpoints for you if you want to stay in ministry. And we've got a lot of people coming into the Kid Ministry Collective community that are brand new to ministry. And I want to help you and encourage you because I want to see you stay in it for the long haul. I want to see you stay faithful and live out your calling. And so I want to help with that. And so today, that's what we're going to be talking about. I also want to thank SurveyHQ for their sponsorship of this podcast. I surely appreciate them and what they do. They have some great products and tools for the church. One of the things they have is called Trained Up, and it's an online video training platform that's really simple. It's powerful. It's flexible. They've got over 700 video modules in their library so that you can use it to train up your team. You can even create your own. And so it's a very powerful tool. So you need to check out SurveyHQ.church and check out Trained Up. And so thank you, SurveyHQ, for your support of the KMC podcast. I really appreciate what you've done to help me continue this ministry. So let's dig in and let's talk about what are five things that you can do. I want to tell a little bit of my story. Some of you know, some of you don't know, especially if you're new. I've been in ministry for over 30 years in children's ministry. I've done student ministry, been an associate pastor, been a senior pastor even for a short time. I've worked in small churches as low as 25, 30 people, all the way up to a multi-site that was around 4,000 or 5,000, I guess. And so, you know, I've been in different positions. I've been in different types of churches, more inner city or city to country churches. And so I've seen a lot of different things, and God's given me a lot of experience. I've also seen some really, amazing things happen. God things that only, I can only say it was God that totally did all this. And then I've also seen where man has gotten involved and flesh rears up and things got ugly and brutal. And I know there are a lot of leaders walking around today hurting. Sometimes you leave a position and you move on to a place and think, well, I just got to carry this with me. And I want to let you know, you don't have to. God has laid on my heart, and I'm working on something right now for hurting leaders. I'm working on a book that I believe will be a great devotional guide or a step-by-step process to walk through when you find yourself in a valley moment, in a valley season, I should say. And so I'll talk more about that later, but I've seen the unhealthy side of the church. I've been in healthy, I've been in unhealthy, I've been in everything in between. And let me tell you, one of the things that I know are there are five principles that I've learned that I think are really important for us to apply in children's ministry if we're going to stay in for the long haul. And so one of the first things that I want to encourage you to do is check your priorities and your boundaries. I've talked about this before on this podcast, but I got to keep emphasizing it. Setting priorities for yourself, for your family, for your ministry, and for your teams, your community is so important. And if you haven't taken time to write them down and write them out and then share them with somebody, you're missing it. And you're not really executing the principle of setting those priorities and those boundaries. You need to sit down and think about what are your true priorities in life. What do you value the most? What are you going to spend your time and your talent and your treasure on? and put those things down in writing, set them down, and then share them with somebody else that can hold you accountable for those things. Because here's the thing I do know for truth. If you don't set priorities, you're going to react to life rather than respond to life. You know, we're told in scripture to be people that live godly lives. And I believe that one of the things that godliness is living with the right order. Because God is a God of order. And I'm tired of watching leaders get burned out and burned up because their priorities haven't been written down and checked on regularly. They haven't been held accountable. And I want to encourage you to take some time and think about this. We're entering a new decade. We're a couple months in now. How are you doing? Not just on goal setting. We've put so much priority on goals and we forget priorities. Without priorities, we can't go anywhere. So I want to encourage you to stop and check. What are your priorities? Are they clear? Are they written down? And are you being held accountable for them? And then once you know your priorities, then you know to set up boundaries. What are things that you will do and what are things that you won't do? You've heard me say it before on the podcast. You need a to-don't list. You need things that you're going to say, I won't do. And there are things I will do. And live that way. Put your boundaries up. There are boundaries of when you use your time. If it's your day off, keep it your day off. Don't compromise that. Oftentimes they'll say, well, I'll do it on my day off and then I'll just take some other time off. No, don't, because you won't. I didn't. There were so many times I compromised and didn't take a day off and then it just rolled into the next week and rolled into the next week and rolled into the next week. As church leaders, we have got to stop this habit of just rolling on down the road, because we roll on down the road tired and worn out, and we're not living in our best life the way God designed us to live. God did not design us to burn up and burn out, and you'll do that if your priorities are not clear and if your boundaries are not set. There are times where you have to say, this is the time to work, this is the time to rest. Jesus himself spent himself physically as a man around people doing ministry, but he took time to rest. When he was tired, he slept. Think about that story in the book of Mark. He was so tired that he fell asleep in the middle of a storm. Yeah, that's tired. Some of you are walking like that now, and you know you need to take a break. You know you need to sign up for some vacation time. Others of you are going, vacation, I don't even know what that is. Well, you better learn. Google it and then schedule it. But you got to do something, my friends, because you can't keep pushing the envelope and you can't keep kicking the can down the road thinking that you're going to do your best ministry when you're running on fumes physically, emotionally, spiritually. So evaluate, what are your boundaries and what won't you do? And don't cross that line. And if a church asks you to cross that line, then you need to make it very clear that that is not going to happen. And you need to be willing to drive a stake in the ground. Because let me tell you, there were times I compromised my boundaries and I did things because I was told I had to do it. And you know what? I look back and realize that was the wrong thing to do. And I should have walked away, because that was not a healthy thing. And any leader who asks you to do something that you know is outside of your boundaries and against your priorities, they're asking you to cross that line. That's not healthy. And so you need to be very clear with where that's at and have a heart-to-heart with that leader and say, this is where my boundaries are and I need you to respect them. Now, I understand there's times where it feels like you can't do that, but trust me, if you know in your heart it's the right thing, you better do it. Okay, so checkpoint two. You got to know your calling, your gifts, and your personality and how God wired you. So many leaders get caught up in this comparison game. And I'm talking to myself. Yeah, there have been times even lately, I'll confess, I'll be totally vulnerable, that I've caught myself comparing myself to other people. Those of you know, I've started KMC Coaching, and it's a ministry not only of coaching and mentoring leaders one-on-one, but in groups. And there have been times that I'm going, who is Tom Bump? Why would anybody want to pay Tom to coach, get coaching? Why would anybody want to use my ministry? And I started comparing myself to others who offer coaching ministries and thinking, I lack so much, and I'm not a good promoter, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. And I started to realize that I was getting away from what God was calling me to do. And I started degrading myself because I wasn't like them, and I couldn't do it like them, and I don't have the flash and the glamour and the glitz that they do. I don't have the name. I'm not on speaking tours and all of this kind of stuff. But you know what? What I've come to realize and what God has spoken into my heart, and that some of you need to hear because you're comparing yourself to the leader down the street, is that God created you unique. He's given you gifts of organization or creativity. He's given you laughter and humor. He's given you an introverted spirit or an extroverted spirit. He's created you unique for the place that you're in, because those people, that community need you. Those children need you to be your best you. And you can't do that if you're comparing yourself, if you're saying, I'm not as gifted as this person, or I don't have that. Listen, I used to try so hard to talk like a certain presenter and follow the organizational plan because I heard somebody was going to use it and thought it was a great thing, or somebody promoted this kind of app, and so I needed to have that on my phone, and I needed to start using that. And I started running all over the place, and I would go to a conference and I'd go, oh, I want to be like them and I want to do that. And finally, God called my heart out and said, look, have I not called you and have I not gifted you? Their giftings and their talents and their abilities is different from yours. And they are called to do what I've told them to do. You are called to do what I've called you to do. And I knew in my heart that God called me into ministry, and he's confirmed it through others. He's confirmed it right in front of my own very eyes, because I've seen the fruit, God's fruit, produced in the things that I do. And so I finally came to the place of realizing and reminding myself even recently that those people that I'm supposed to coach and that join our programs that the KMC Coaching offers are the exact people that need it. And those that don't use it don't need it. And that my unique gifts and talents and abilities are different, and they're here for people that need it. So I want to encourage you. Stop comparing yourself. You'll not last in ministry if you continue to do that. You'll not last in ministry if you're trying to get everybody to know your name. You don't have to overpromote yourself. Just let God open the doors and let God bring the blessing and let God do the work. But you know how you're wired and learn how you're wired and then function in the best you. You be you and be the very best you you can be. Because here's the thing, if you live in the world of comparison, you're going to burn up and burn out trying to be like them instead of being you, and you're going to miss the opportunities that God has called for uniquely for you. Here's another scenario that I've wrestled with. I started changing things, how I did things, out of pressure to please other leaders on my team, or even my senior leader, and I wasn't functioning how God wired me. I was functioning on how I thought I could please them. I was becoming a man pleaser. I was ashamed of how I was wired. I'm very creative and very free flowing. I love going Mach 3 with my hair on fire. I love change. I love just the variety of life. But instead, I started fighting that, and I started trying to do things in different organizational ways. And I started, putting out my tasks list for everybody to see that I had a list and I was living by that. And you know what? I started suffocating and I started breathing differently. I started functioning differently, and I wasn't leading from my own strength. I was leading from somebody else's. I was trying to be somebody else's. Listen, I finally learned, you know what? God has created a body of Christ. Huh. Imagine that. He's created people that have different talents and gifts that I do. And one of the things I learned and has kept me in ministry for so long is I lead from my strength and I get the others that are around me that have strengths that I don't have, that the passions that I don't have, the wiring that I don't have, and I bring them into my team, and together we are complete because they need somebody like me and I need somebody like them. And together, it's amazing what we can do. I remember recruiting a team of people that we all had different giftings and we worked like a fine-tuned orchestra. And it was beautiful when we were all doing our thing and doing it so well, because when we came together, it was amazing ministry. We saw families and children's lives being changed. Why? Because we all learned that we had to be ourselves and that we had to live in that zone of our wiring. And it was incredible. So if you've been comparing yourself, if you've been trying to be a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser, stop. Be yourself. Get to know how God created you and lead from those strengths and the core of your personality. Don't try to be somebody that you're not, because you'll not be happy or healthy or productive. One of the mistakes leaders make early on is they don't know who they are. They don't know their identity. They don't know who they are in Christ. And so they try to be somebody else. Don't compare yourself, your church, or your ministry to anyone else's. And I know that's easier said than done. But listen, you got to trust. You got to believe that God has you for a unique calling and a unique time. We need to focus on love and the ministry that's been entrusted to us. And the only thing that we need to focus on even more is to find that contentment in our ministry that will keep us there in a healthy place. And that doesn't mean that you can't want more or better things or to do it with more excellence. That's great. But be the steward of whatever God has given you, whether it's little or great in your eyes, and make something beautiful happen with it. Don't bury it in the comparison game, but bring it out and invest it in yourself and in others. And it's amazing what can happen when you do that. Another checkpoint: how are you serving your senior leaders, your fellow staff members? If you're going to stay in ministry, you need to be a team player. You don't want to just build your own kingdom, your own thing. You want to build what God has. And that means being together. I want you to think about Philippians chapter 2. Here's what it says. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship from the Spirit, if tenderness, compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in purpose. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, didn't consider equality with God be something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness, and being found in that human appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Listen, Jesus came to serve. He set that example by serving people and meeting their needs right where they are. He met with his disciples and he met their needs. And so I have a question. How are you serving your pastor, your leader? How are you serving? Do you know their heart? Do you know how to pray for them? Have you ever asked? Sometimes we make them the adversary because they don't give us all the stage time we want. They don't push or seem to push children's ministry as high as they want or we want. But let me ask you, what have you done lately to serve them? When have you asked them what's on their heart? What's on their mind? What could you pray for them for? Let me encourage you to start there. Start ministering to them and their family. Encourage them. Give him or her updates of what's going on in your ministry. Give them some little bullet points and a couple stories of what God is doing and how he's transforming lives of your team, the children under your care, of the families that are in your influence. Let them know. Give them opportunity to have sermon illustrations because of what you're sharing. But then make sure you're serving. Make sure you're doing what you can. Do your part so they don't have to worry about what you're doing. If you have a staff team or you serve on a staff team, what are you doing to serve them? What are you doing to work together, to partner together? How can the children's ministry be a blessing to the student ministry? Instead of complaining about the student ministry always trashing your area, how can you go serve them? What could you provide for them? How can you partner together? Remember, we're connected. We're part of the body of Christ. So what could you do? How could you serve them? Have you asked? What do you need? And how can I help you with that need? What can I do? And what can I pray for you for? How can I help you win with the students? What do you want to know about those kids coming up into your student ministry in the next year? Think about what that would do to a student ministry if the student pastor knew his kids that were coming up into that ministry the next year, because you took the time to give him some ideas. Just a thought. You know what? If you've allowed silos to be built, it's time to tear them down. Another checkpoint, don't go alone. Stop doing ministry alone. If you can do ministry, bring somebody with you. Find someone that you can pour into. Who's your Timothys that you can pour into? But here's the other thing. Who's being the Paul to you? Who's ahead of you? Who's behind you? Is the way I always ask it. Do you have somebody that you can lean into their experience? Do you have somebody that you can talk to and ask questions? Not just how questions, but why? Why do we do it this way? Why does this happen? Have you ever thought about that? Do you have someone that can help you think through your habits and routines and disciplines? Do you have somebody to help, again, guard you with your priorities and your boundaries? I want to encourage you to think about who is mentoring or coaching you. If you need somebody, find somebody. There are fantastic leaders out there that are doing coaching like what I offer with KMC coaching. There are other coaches out there. And I'll tell people if they call me, hey, look, if you're not the right fit for me, if I'm not the right fit for you, I'm going to recommend some fantastic other coaches that are doing coaching. Because there are some great ones out there. Carl Bastian, Josh Denhart, Jessica Beeler. There are some fantastic ministries that are doing coaching and mentoring. And so I'm going to push you that direction if I'm not a good fit for you with KMC coaching. But the point is, do you have somebody ahead of you? You know, if those other leaders aren't ahead of you, then that's not the right fit. And if I am, then I'm a better fit. I don't know. Here's what I'm saying. Find someone that's ahead of you in ministry years and lean into their experience. Find somebody even behind you that you can mentor and encourage and bring along. Get involved with somebody else. But in your own local ministry, who are you training up? Who are you investing in? Who's your one and your few that you could pour into? Jesus recruited 12, but he really poured into 3, and then he really challenged even 1 and launched them into ministry. How are you duplicating that process? Think about it. If you don't have a plan, create some action steps, some things that you can do, and set it up and start doing it. Now, my last checkpoint, you need a plan. Don't wing it. Some of you feel like, and you really are, I'll look at you and say, you're a natural planner. You've got this. Now, I know truly organization is a learned art form and a skill, and it's something that anybody can do. Yes, some of you, it does come more naturally wired, and you love that stuff. You love your to-do lists. You love that checklist. It's awesome for you. Others, I know, even like me, it makes you break out in hives when you think about it. But we need a plan. God is a God of order and a God of steps. And he blesses us when we take those organizational steps, when we think about those things and we commit our plan to him. He orders our steps, is what scripture says. But I know there's a lot of Kidman leaders out there that struggle with this area. And again, this is where a coach or a mentor comes in. They can help you get that stuff organized. It's what my mentor did for me. I struggled with this for years. And I always joked about having piles, not files, and going Mach 3 with my hair on fire. And I learned that that's not the best way to always do things. Flexibility is great. Some of you need to learn to be more flexible. And that needs to be part of your plan, is to have flexibility built into it. I know that sounds contradictory, but it's not. But we need to be able to do that. And so let me just tell you, think about it. What's my plan? What's my steps? What's my calendar look like? What's my day look like? Do I need to block out more time for this or that? You can learn to get organized, and you can learn to function in a way that allows flexibility to happen and yet order to happen as well. For some of us, we need to humble ourselves and ask for more help. For others, you know what? Even if we have a task list, some of it we need to delegate because we're trying to do too much. Some of us just need to organize a task list and get some steps, but we too need to organize it so that other people can help us along and do it. You need to know where you're going or you're going to get lost, and you're going to lead others in that same lost direction. You'll lose volunteers, you'll lose help, you'll lose influence when we're not set up the right way to do things. When we don't learn how to manage people and manage tasks and our time, it can hurt the work of the ministry, and it can hurt our influence, and it can hurt our longevity. So I want to challenge you. If you're naturally organized, who can you delegate to? If you're not naturally organized, how do you get organized? Who can you leverage to help you get more organized and to show you the path? So these are a few things that I've learned over the years that God has put on my heart to say, hey, you especially that are starting out in children's ministry, think about these five things. How do they fit into your model and ministry right now? How can you implement them? And if you need help, reach out. It's what I'm here for. It's what the Kid Ministry Collective community is for. That's what so-called ministry coaches and mentors are for. Reach out. Let's leverage the strength of the KMC, the Kid Ministry Collective, to build up the kingdom in a greater way in 2020. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I'm excited to see what doors he's going to open up. And I pray that if you're going through a hard time, if you're struggling, that you especially will realize that today God's telling you it's time to reach out. It's time to walk with somebody. You'll go farther and faster when you're walking with somebody than walking alone. So please take advantage of the children's ministry communities around you, the other Facebook groups, certainly this podcast, and the coaching and the group, the community. Take advantage of those things and lean into them, because we're here for you. We're here to help each other. We want to work together to build the kingdom and make it greater. So I pray that this podcast has been an encouragement to you. I hope that if you haven't yet, you'll subscribe to it. We certainly would love to see more subscribers. We'd love to hear you sharing it more, and feel free to share the podcast with other children's ministry groups, with other leaders that you know. We would love to get more listeners, because again, our goal is to just reach more, to lead more, and that's what we want to do. If I can be of service to you, if you're a hurting leader, Let me just pause with this for a moment because I just feel God's telling me to say this. And I don't do this very often. But if you're a hurting leader and you need someone to talk to, please message me. You can go to wbman99@gmail.com. That's my personal email. Shoot me an email or message me on social media and say, hey, I'm hurting. I'd like to talk. We'll set up a time and we'll talk, and everything is confidential. So you can feel safe. You can know that I'm somebody who's been through it. And I a lot of times I'll tell people my stories and they feel a lot better when they've heard them. And I know that God won't waste the pain that I've experienced for his good. I know he won't waste it. So if it can help you and encourage you and help you heal and not walk wounded, please reach out. I want to help. I really do. So I just felt like I had to say that. It's not the normal way I wrap up these podcasts, but if there's a way I can encourage you, please do that. And if this podcast has encouraged you, I would love to know. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to hear more things that you would like to hear more guests or speakers or topics. Feel free to reach out on those things as well. We would love to hear that. So again, thanks for listening to this edition. We've got some great episodes coming up. We've got an edition talking about bridging the gap between children's ministry and student ministry. We've also got one on task and time management that I know you're going to love coming up as well. So stay tuned for the other editions of the KMC. Thanks again to ServeHQ and their support of this ministry. If you know of a ministry that would like to be a financial sponsor of this episode or these episodes, feel free to reach out and contact me. We're always interested in promoting other ministries that build the kingdom of God. So God bless you guys. Thanks for listening to the KMC.
You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBump. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.